Welcome and welcome. We're just a couple of minutes away from getting started. Six is the magic number of senators that we need in order to launch. Ladies and gentlemen, we have done the math, and our predictions are that we do indeed have a quorum. We will find out officially when our roll is called in just a few minutes. First of all, I am Aaron Bean. I'm a senator from Jacksonville. It's my honor to welcome you to Tallahassee, to the Florida Senate, and most importantly, to the Subcommittee on Health and Human Services Appropriations. It's a big day. It's a very big day. Because today is the day you've been waiting for. You've had it circled on your calendar. How are we going to spend money in health care for the upcoming year? Well, the first round will come out today in just a few moments as we will unveil our recommendations for our health care spending going forward. We've sat through, for those that haven't been here before, we've sat through hours and hours of testimony of recommendations from experts. We've heard from the governor. We've heard from every single cabinet officer or official in our purview. There's six of them. So with all those recommendations, I've met individually with every senator up here of their recommendations. And so we will unveil, take questions, and talk. But first, let's talk about health. We all want to be healthy. I think health starts with some of the basics. The very basic is a place to live. If you don't have a place to live, that's going to be your primary focus. Today, we're happy to welcome people that are leading the way to make shelter available. I'm talking about the First Coast Apartment Association, people that have traveled all the way to make sure apartment living is affordable and an option for everybody. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask them, if you're with the First Coast Apartment Association, I know they're here, if they will stand, we'll give you a warm Senate Health Appropriations welcome. Please stand, First Coast Apartment Association. That's where health starts, shelter. Health starts with shelter. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's signify that we indeed have a quorum.
Senator Bean.
Here.
Senator Harrell. Senator Book. Senator Diaz. Senator Farmer. Senator Flores. Senator Hooper. Senator Pasadomo. Senator Rader. Senator Roussan. Quorum present.
Thank you very much, Ms. Robin. Members, if you're here for Senate Bill 52, first of all, does it feel like we were here yesterday? We were here yesterday. So if you're here for Senate Bill 52 or if you're here for Senate Bill 52 today, it has been TP'd. We will not hear it. Members, our procedures dictate that if someone is going to present a bill, they can't have the chair and present a bill at the same time. So I am honored once again to turn the chair over to Vice Chair Senator Harrell and ask to be recognized for Senate Bill 1020.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And yes, you are recognized to present Senate Bill 1020, Institutional Formularies Established by Nursing Home Facilities.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Members, we know formularies are an important and essential tool that a variety of healthcare facilities use to manage costs. Hospitals have them, our managed care, our Medicaid plans have them. Who has been left out of the pot of this tool is nursing homes. So today, 1020 will allow nursing homes with all of the safety, half the bill is all the safety regulations that are necessary to present a formulary, but it is a great tool that nursing homes will be able to take advantage of. And for some that have looked at it, the doctor still has control that he can always say, or she can always say, this is medically necessary. I do not want any substitutions, and that will continue to be the rule. But in certain instances, that doctor can work with a committee that the nursing home will set up to have maybe a less expensive alternative, a proven therapy that may just save money. So that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the explanation. Are there questions, members? Are there questions? Seeing no questions, we do have one appearance card, and that is for Cliff Bauer from Miami Jewish Health. Very important, Bill. Pardon me, we did have one question. Yes, I'm sorry, Senator Rizzon, I apologize. You're recognized in questions.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And Senator Bean, does the bill require a nursing home to notify the prescribing provider when a prescription for the provider's patient is being substituted?
You are recognized, Senator Bean.
Thank you very much. Well, the doctor, the prescribing doctor, will most likely be a part of the formulary committee. So they will indeed know what therapies may be substituted. They'll be a part of that. So the way the nursing home will implement a formulary will establish a committee that will oversee the formulary, and it must include at a minimum the facility's medical director, the director of nursing, and a pharmacist. So that doctor is going to be a part of the plan of going forward.
Thank you very much.
Follow up.
Along those same lines, will the patient's family or representative be noticed if there's a substitution of prescription?
You recognized?
You know, individually, perhaps not, but they will be noticed that there is a formulary. The safeguards in the bill, the prescriber may opt out of any drug or class of drugs. And so there's, I think, adequate safeguards to let everybody know that you're in a formulary with, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. It's totally optional for every nursing home. They don't have to participate, but if they do, they want. And as you know, it's very commonplace. The formulary in hospitals and other settings are there as well.
Further questions, members? We did have one appearance card. We did hear from them, and I see no additional appearance cards. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close.
I waive close, Madam Chair.
Waiving close. Please call the roll on Senate Bill 1020.
Senator Book, Senator Diaz,
yes.
Senator Farmer,
yes.
Senator Flores, Senator Hooper, Senator Pasadomo,
yes.
Senator Rader,
yes.
Senator Rusan,
yes.
Senator Bean,
yes.
Chair Harrell.
Yes. And by your vote, members, Senate Bill 1020 will be reported favorably. And with that, I turn the chair back to the intrepid Senator Bean.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Harrell. Thank you so much. Staff is now, ladies and gentlemen, presenting our spreadsheet. Let me give you the highlights. I know it's hard to follow. If you're in the audience or watching on TV, numbers are just hard to follow. I wish we had some graphs or charts, but I think it is, I'm proud of this budget. I'll be honest with you ahead of time. Proud of it. We've worked hard. We've met with nearly everybody to get their take and tried to reach in every direction we could. We know this going in. I think it was the very first day I said there's not enough money. There's not enough money in healthcare to cover every need or want. And you saw that yesterday with our discussion into the APD waiver. So members, the packet that you're opening up appropriates in the healthcare silo $39.4 billion. Which includes $10.6 billion in general revenue. So we take nearly $30 billion from the federal government and trust funds to allocate health. It's an increase of a little over $400 million. That's a 4% increase over current funding. Here are some highlights. In the Agency for Healthcare Administration, we fund fully the Medicaid and KidCare program serving almost 4.1 million Floridians. That's nearly $1 billion in itself right there. We're proud of the KidCare program. We're still making it available to everybody regardless of income. There is no excuse for anyone not giving their children in the state of Florida full insurance for health insurance. We provide this was heavily debated or talked about yesterday, a an ICF, intermediate care facility, a rate increase for intensive behavioral rate for severely handicapped individuals that need extra care, maybe 24-hour care that could be a danger to themselves. They're highly specialized. We heard from parents who said they don't have enough options to send their loved one to. With this rate increase and with, hopefully, Senator Harrell's bill will pass to allow more options for families that need that type of care. This is a big one because this is where our parents or grandparents or ourselves are may headed to, and that is nursing homes. We know nursing homes right now, 50% right now, are in the red, and so they need some attention. We're putting our money where our mouth is. We are going to have a rate increase for nursing homes that will total over a little over $100 million. We continue a realignment of hospital funding to ensure that money follows the patient. We have made some trims to some of the exemption rates and then put it in the full base rate. That is strange language to you unless you're in hospital world. We think it adequately covers those that that will need help. We also are taking advantage of a program called direct payment. Maybe you've heard about it or been lobbied about it, but it's a way that we can further increase the federal government participating and paying hospitals. We've looked at Texas. Texas has been very successful in doing this, and we think we could do the same thing. That needs federal permission, so we're going to ask the federal government to give us authority to do that. But in the case that other states have done it, we think we should do it as well, and that's going to provide additional services. Within the Agency for Persons with Disabilities, we spent a lot of time yesterday. The first thing we did, in fact, I mentioned it yesterday, and I'm going to mention it again. The first thing we did was fund existing deficits within APD, and that is truly why we are considering changes in that program, the deficits. You ready for this number? $242 million in deficits. That's just to cover what they've overspent in the past. We're committed, as I said yesterday, to our most vulnerable citizens. So we're doing that, but wait, because we are going to be putting new money into that program. Growth for funds in both really to help with the waiting list and for others to receive the services, $164 million. It's a big number. It sounds like a big number because it is a big number. We established a rate increase for direct care workers that help people with disabilities. Remember last year, we gave a rate increase, and it's sad when you're doing the Lord's work of working with people with severe disabilities, and you could go make more money going to a fast food restaurant. And that just shouldn't be. So last year, we spent a lot of money to raise the average rate over $10 an hour, but we didn't do the daycare programs, the adult daycare programs, which are still under $10 an hour. So we're putting money to make sure that they also enjoy, I say enjoy, good gravy. They're going to be making a little over $10 an hour. So that's where we start. If we can do more in session, I'm in. In the Department of Children and Families, we know a kid will thrive with permanency. And so adoption subsidies, we are putting $20 million to make that happen. The First Lady had an initiative where every child should have adequate mental health. And one of the delivery methods she's highlighted is mental health via telemedicine. We have fully funded that request of $4 million. And Senator Roussan, who is always asking questions because he cares so much about opioid, and actually spent his summer 2 years ago on tour, to tour every corner of the state to help the opioid crisis, we were able to continue to work with the federal government and to provide some state funds with that. And we're just under $70 million, which is still a good number. Good number. I think, is that down from 72? I remember 72, 80. Okay, so just a little bit less than what we did last year, but but not the severe drop-off. We were worried that the federal government would pull out altogether. So that's, I think, really good news. In elder affairs, we have almost a quarter of our population, a fifth of our population is over 65. We do not want predators on our seniors, and so we have fully funded. We heard testimony here about the guardianship program, and so to increase public guardians and to prevent people from preying on our older folks, we provide money for that program. $10 million? Yeah, I'll say $10 million, the guardianship services. In the community care for the elderly, I see Linda Levin is here, came all the way from Jacksonville just for this announcement. We have provided additional funding for community care for elderly programs and address aging and disability resource centers, increasing workload. She'll tell you, it's busy. It's hopping at her place at her AAA in Jacksonville, $6.2 million. That is a nice little increase. And then Alzheimer's, let's take a stand, a 6.8% increase in the Alzheimer's initiative. We fund that at $1.8 million. Department of Health, Dr. Rifke's told us that hepatitis A is still on the rise. So we give him what he's asked for, the tools to fight. The tools cost $10 million, and that is what we've allocated. The workload for the child protection team, when a child's in danger, the CPTs are there as on the hotline that can go investigate. We give them a rate increase, a workload increase of $1.5 million. That needs to be more, but it's a good start. $2 million for closing the gap to address the health disparities between racial and ethnic lines. That's a priority of Minority Leader Gibson. If she's watching, that's in there. She also cares about Alzheimer's. And the Veterans Affairs, our veterans and men and women in uniform are here. And they said, you heard Danny Burgess say, we have two nursing homes that are almost finished, need a little boost. We have provided those funds to make sure that those nursing homes go forward. And then the Veterans Training Grant Program is a $2.5 million. So we're putting veterans to work. Members, we also have information on our proposed conforming bill that will be taken up in full appropriations. The bill addresses the correctional medical authority from the executive office of the governor to the Department of Health. Members, we do not have a proviso for you today. That will be assembled later and rolled out at another time. I know it's a lot to digest. You're going to take this back. We will have a sheet for individual projects for you. I'm happy to say, members, every single member up here has a priority project that has been funded in your individual area, everybody. So that is a good start. We also have session and conference to continue to work on those items. There are some folks I know that are watching. What? You didn't mention XYZ? But there's conference. That is conference. This is round one. And so, members, are there questions? Does anybody have a burning question? You're still digesting it. As you're thinking about it, Senator Harrell moves to allow staff to make technical corrections and adjustments. Without objection, show that motion adoption. Senator Passidomo moves to accept the subcommittee's proposal for Appropriations Subcommittee on Health and Human Services budget and conforming bill provisions and to forward our budget recommendations onto the full Appropriations Committee. Without objection, show that motion adopted. Are there additional questions or thoughts? Members, this is going to hurt to say this, we will not meet next week because I know y'all want to come. Y'all want to come, and if you want to, I can have the sergeant just open the committee room, and you just come sit for 3 hours. And we were rocking. So next week is a full appropriations. We'll be presenting this budget within the full appropriations. But other questions? Is there any other business to come before us? Senator Flores, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to be shown as voting favorably for Senate Bill 1020.
Without objection, that's a good vote. Without objection. Senator Hooper, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to follow up on Senator Flores, I too would like to be shown voting in the affirmative on Senate Bill 1020.
Play without objection. Members, thank you very much. We still have a long way to go. We're off to a great start. Have a great weekend. See you back next week. Senator Diaz, move we adjourn.